Sometimes you just don't have time to prepare for what life throws your way. Bruce asked me to speak in several days ago, and I thought, okay, I should prepare. And from then until now, here's my notes. Two scripture references. I spent more time doing my hair this morning. And I think God planned it that way. Because I'm hoping he has something to say. I don't know about you, but I am a little bit drunk right now. And not just love drunk. To know that God's love is all around us, completely filling us. It's always there. It's always available. And that we can just receive it and experience it and just let it just bring us such peace and joy any moment of the day. Like, it's such a gift. And you know, this morning I've just been so overwhelmed by God's love. Like, coming in here, I swear there's like a curtain, like a spiritual curtain, when you walk through that door, where I just get hit with God's love. And it's just, wow, it's such a beautiful thing. And I know that there's people here that, you know, they come into this room and it just feels like another room. You know, and that's fine. You know, and I'm not trying to say, like, hey, you guys should all be getting your buzz on like I am. Jesus, you know, this is what it's all about. It's not. You know, wherever you're at is where God is meeting you, and it's a beautiful place. And there's been times where I've come into this room and felt nothing at all. And that was fine. And it is fine. But I want you to know that God has so much more. And despite life's circumstances, which can easily be confusing and interpreted as maybe God's not that loving all the time, he's good, and he can only do good. And you can trust me that I've thoroughly examined God's goodness and whether he really is who he says he is. And most of you know that our firstborn son has had a rough go of life. And when your first child is born into this world disfigured and spends the first year of his life with machines attached to him and keeping him alive, you have a lot of time to think about God's goodness. And it's taken me years to come through what's happened in my life through those times, but I can tell you that I've come out the other side, and it's so good to be where I am right now, experiencing God's love the way that I am. And what excites me is that this is for all of us, just a glory to glory to glory, deepening, ever deepening, ever growing intimacy and love and connection and just perfect existence with God for all of us. And then people say, you know, I've had people talk to me and say that, oh, you have a gift or you have a talent or you have this or whatever. And I'm sure we've all had that. People say things to us about that, you know, things in our life, things that we're good at, whatever. But there's some people that will discredit themselves. And we all will, to a certain extent, discredit what God has put in us. And we'll look at other people and say, well, maybe they got a little bit more. Maybe they got a little bit more talent. Maybe they got a little bit more love as a child. Whatever it is. Our experiences in life play a large role in what we believe. And I'm here to talk to you about unbelief today. Because growing up, well, I had a crazy upbringing. spiritually, you know, my parents sitting right there. I couldn't be more grateful for you, Mom and Dad. That being said, spiritually, we had a really interesting upbringing. But I can tell you, at the core of it all was love. And my parents have swung from either side of the pendulum many times throughout their life with all the spiritual experiences and things that they've been through, and we've kind of been taken along for the ride as their children. And all those experiences will tend to create judgments in your heart, which then become beliefs about who you are, about who God is, about your purpose and what this life is all about. And you can be sure that even though we've, you know, many of us have accepted the Lord as our Savior, there's still a lot of unbelief in our hearts. And I just want to clear things up, because, you know, in this life there's the truth and then there's lies. And when we can eliminate the lies from our life, all that remains is the truth. And the truth will set us free. It's really simple. And so, I just want to read some scripture here, because I do not have the words like God does. This is from Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by finding sound arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you have received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in strength, in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. I know that growing up, I kind of perceived God as outside of me. Even though so many people told me time and time again, and I read so many scriptures, you're inviting Jesus into your heart, he lives in your heart. For some reason, I still perceive God as up in the clouds, or his presence is here and there and somewhere else, and it comes and it goes. But the truth is that God's presence is everywhere. It's everything. And it's us, most of all. That we are the physical manifestation and representation of God's presence. And as I think about that and I look at each one of you, I see God physically manifest before me. That we are his very presence here on earth. Now, if we could see everybody always as the reflection and physical manifestation of God incarnate, how would that change our lives? How would we treat people? How would we talk to people? How would we talk about people? Because this is the truth. Just the truth. You know, so we need to search our heart for this unbelief which is deceiving us. And it says, search your heart, you know, to see that, you know, there's no evil unbelief in you. You know, and that your heart is not hardened towards God. That you have not been deceived by sin, and that your heart is not hardened towards God. Now, I don't know about you, but I can vouch that I have been deceived by sin. And we can all agree that we all have been. And so, in the same verse, it says that your hearts have been hardened towards God. We can all agree that if we've been deceived by sin, it's very likely that our hearts have been hardened towards God. Whether we're a Christian or not, there's a hardness that comes. And so my hope is that we would search our hearts to see where this unbelief is. Because everything that we're experiencing in life is a reflection of what we believe. That we're actually creating our own experience here on earth through what we choose to believe about ourselves, about God, about one another. And when I came to this revelation, I thought, whoa, this is huge. This is huge. That God has put me in the driver's seat of my life. That he loved me that much that he said, here, make your life whatever you want. I have every hope and trust that I made you in my image, that you are good. And that if you seek out love, you will be mine. You will come to me. That he gave us up with free will, trusting and hoping and believing that we would come back to him because we're his. Because I struggled with free will for a while and what role God plays in this life. You know, is he actually like kind of meddling with our life and kind of like, oh, I'm going to put a little stumbling block in front of you here to see what you do, you know? Like, because we do that as parents, right? Like, we kind of push our kids down the stairs, just teach them a lesson, right? Be like, hey, you got to toughen up, kid. Because after experiencing what we went through with my son Asher, I kind of thought that's what God was doing. I was like, what? Like, how does this happen to a child before he can even take his first breath? You know? If God's in control, how does this happen? And what I came to realize is that God is sovereign, and we are his creation, and he is in control. But we're dictating what's happening here. We're in control of our lives. We're in control of this earthly experience through our choices and through what we believe. And it's not going to get so out of control that God can't come in and deal with things when the time comes. He already said he's going to. But day to day, your destiny is not set. Your path is yours to choose. You can do whatever you want with your life. All things are possible. And when I realized that God wasn't at fault for what happened with my son, and I saw that really what we're experiencing, all the negative things in our life, all the bad circumstances, are just a repercussion of sin in this life. You know, and take for example, you know, somebody driving their car and texting, and they don't see a pedestrian, and boom, they kill that person going across the street. It doesn't just end there. That person had children that now have to grow up without a mother. And then those children have to deal with all the stuff that comes from growing up without a mother. And then they have children. And you can see how the ripple, the butterfly effect, they call it, continues on and on and on through generations. Now multiply this by thousands of years and billions of people. All the choices, there's good too. Don't get all bummed out. There's a lot of good choices that have great, you know, repercussions, you know, and we're kind of hoping that the good is going to outweigh the bad. But there's a lot of bad stuff happening. And it's hard at times for us not to think that, where is God in all of this? And though he designed the system, and if you really want to, you can boil it down to, well, he designed the system, so ultimately he is responsible. He did this. No, he didn't. We did it. Okay? He designed the system hoping and believing it was going to be perfect. And when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, if he didn't put the tree there and say, don't eat of this fruit, it wouldn't have been a relationship. It wouldn't have been real. There wouldn't have been a free will. If you could only choose good, how is that a relationship? If your only choice was Jesus, well, obviously, I've got to choose Jesus. Right? But God loved us so much that he wanted us to choose of our own free will. And so in order to do that, he had to put sin as an option. He had to put the tree in the garden. But he warned us, don't eat. Don't eat from this tree. It's going to screw everything up. And sure enough, you know, we went for it. And the rest is history. But here we are. And so what do we do now? We look to the truth. And the truth is that we are to eat from the tree of life. Not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as Christians, it's very, very easy to mix up the fruit. And to think that, well, we're as Christians, we're doing the right thing. People in the world, they're doing the wrong thing. There's right, there's wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. But I guarantee if we were to all sit down in pairs and groups here and discuss what we really believe about God, about this world, there would be differing opinions in every group. Because every one of us perceives and judges in a completely unique way. Yet here we are, gathered together with the core belief of who Jesus is, of his perfect love, and what he's done for us. And that's what has us all here in agreement. But if we were to really get into the nitty-gritty, we would be disagreeing on many different levels. So what is right and wrong then? What is it? Is there really a right and a wrong? You'd say yes. Of course there is. But if you were to sit down and actually write it out with another person there, you would start writing what you think is right. And pretty soon they would interrupt you and be like, "What? What are you? I don't agree with that. I think it's this way." And bicker back and forth. And guess what? Thousands of years later, we've got how many different denominations in the church? How many different theologies and books and textbooks, right? And it's all people, you know, with their perspective of what they believe. And guess what? There's a different one for every face in this room. So should we continue on this path of trying to figure out what's right and wrong in every situation and really focus on right and wrong and right and wrong, sin and life? Or should we just leave that fruit on that tree and go to the tree of life, which is perfect love in Jesus? Because when perfect love becomes the law of your heart, there you don't even have to think about what's right and wrong. Sin doesn't exist. It's gone. Love remains. And I wanted to share the scripture. Hold on here. Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. We've all heard this many times, I'm sure. But maybe here's a little different perspective. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son gathered together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Can't say I've really done that, but, you know. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen in that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" You know, been there. We've done that. "But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. Now this is kind of like where we all go, oh, what a great, great story of redemption. And that was wonderful. I mean, maybe we relate to this. I don't really relate to this part. Like I never had any wealth from my dad that I went and spent on prostitutes and wild living. I just, you know, there's sin in my life. Not going to deny that, right? But I understand what the underlying message is, just that there's nobody too far from God's love. And it's a beautiful thing. And I do relate to that. But this is the part that kind of hit me a little harder. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? The brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf. He has him back safe, because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answers his father, look at all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. And now here's the kicker. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. And the father says this, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now that older brother, I relate to him a little bit more. You know, I gave my life to Jesus when I was fairly young and, you know, did my little roller coaster through the teen years, but got married and have been serving the Lord and raising my family ever since. And in that time, you know, some roots of bitterness through life circumstances grew in my life. And I thought, look at what's going on in this world. Evil people are prospering. And I'm working my butt off. And it's just paycheck to paycheck. What is going on? Like, can't you see, Lord, that my heart is for you? And that my life is yours? Can't I get a break? You know, look at all these weirdo millionaires with TV shows and just total schmuck idiots. And you think, how does this person have millions of dollars, you know, and just lives like a playboy, you know, heathen? And so you kind of question, like, God, do you really have enough money to go around? Like, are you just really like, like you've got to be broke because I ain't getting nothing here, you know? And it wasn't until I realized that God has more than I can even imagine. And he's not withholding a single thing. Not one thing. So then where's the blockage? Because you got the money, I'm yours, you're with me, I'm with you. Where's the money? Come on, you can't deny you haven't thought these thoughts and asked these questions. Am I the only one? God's answer is, You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. Whatever situation you're in, whether it's financial, physical, whatever, he's always with you, and everything he has is yours. So the only thing then that could be preventing us from experiencing the fullness of heaven now, here on earth, is our unbelief. Because if by faith we believe it to be true in our heart, it's ours. It's ours. You can just wealth, relationships, family, marriage, whatever your heart desires. And exceedingly more, actually. Exceedingly more than you can ask or imagine. Like that's a big step. Because we're asking, then we're imagining exceedingly more than that. Now we've all got let's not get into our imaginations, right? But I can bet we've all got a pretty vivid imagination about, you know, what we dream about, what our life, ideal life would look like, what we want to experience here on earth. We've just plotted it out in our heads every night before we go to bed. Oh, my dreams. And then you wake up to the reality of your bank account. And you, like me anyways, I shook my fist at God for a long time. Thinking, when is this breakthrough going to happen? And when he told me that it was my unbelief, and that I'm responsible to search out my heart and to find these areas of hardness and unbelief, and then to align those with the truth so that I can see what is lies. Once those lies leave your life, the floodgates open, people. They open like you would not believe. Okay? A year ago, I'm just a contractor working from paycheck to paycheck, dinky job to dinky job, just enough to get by. I'm not complaining, first world problems, you know? I've got my tools, I've got food, I've got a roof over my head. Never been really in want, but never really been in wealth either, just kind of coasting. And this revelation comes to me, and it was kind of like a trickle revelation that came over a number of years, you know, through training and conferences and teaching and really just searching out, like, I've got to have a breakthrough or I'm not going to make it to the end of this life. I'll tell you that right now. I was sitting down at a job site and looking across the table, and we're all having lunch, all the contractors, you know, eating our bag lunches and a plywood floor all covered in sawdust. And I thought, man, I've been doing this for 10 years. 10 years. And then here I am. I'm just the same old guy working by the hour. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Right? And I looked across the table and there was this guy that was probably 65 years old. And he was just like me. And I thought, I'm 31. This guy's 65. He's been doing this for like more than 30 years, more than I have. And here he is, eating out of a brown paper bag with me at lunch break. And I thought, it just hit me. This is future Jesse. If you don't choose to believe something different, if you don't choose to go a different path, if you don't choose to find a way to believe and experience what God talks about in His scripture, this is future Jesse. You're looking at him. He was a nice guy. Did not want to be him. Did not want to be him. And so it was at that moment where I just said, God, help me. I do not want to be working by the hour, paycheck to paycheck, just getting by in life when I'm 65. I believe there's got to be more. How can I read this and compare it to my life and say, I've arrived. I just couldn't. So you have to stop deceiving yourself. Okay? There's nothing wrong with where we're all at. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing to, don't condemn yourself. Don't feel bad about anything, right? God is with us in all things. Be encouraged. But know this. This is God's will for us. All of it. Here on earth. Okay, and if you're not experiencing it, don't beat yourself up. But just ask, God, show me how to believe, to have the wisdom. Show me the opportunities that you have laid out for me every day of my life that lead to all my dreams. Because if we're created in His image, and He said we're very, very good, we're the most God-like creature on this planet. Do you think He has high hopes for the people that He created in His own image? So your imagination is created in the image of God. So the things that you're imagining, your dreams, your aspirations, God put those there. He gave you that ability to imagine those things. Just to tease us? Just to tease us and torment us throughout life? No. That would make God an asshole. He is good. Okay, so you have to ask yourself, because I honestly just had to come to the conclusion. I said, God, you're a jerk father, or you're a good father. And there's areas in my heart where I believe that you're a bit of a jerk father. I don't believe that you're good because I'm not experiencing any of this. I can read it and be like, oh, it sounds amazing. It really does. And I'm going for it. I'm working. I'm believing. I'm trying to rest. I'm doing all this sort of stuff. And there's nothing. And God just said, I'm always with you. And everything I have is yours. So, where's the unbelief? And when you realize that you are responsible for what you believe, and that a lot of those beliefs, you might not necessarily have said, I believe this about God. Your parents might have imprinted that on you as you were a child growing up. You might have had all sorts of experiences. We all have. Right? The first years of your life, you know, science says that your brain waves are in this, what's called a theta state, where you're just imprinting information. Because you don't have any context. You're a child. You have no information. You can't have, you know, your own thoughts and decisions and stuff. So you're just absorbing. You know, you're in observation mode. So a lot of people have been abused. And all sorts of terrible things have happened to them. And that just goes right in, right? And so we have to say that regardless of our hard drive, God says, renew your mind. That says He'll wipe your hard drive clean. All the negative, everything, He'll wipe it clean. And you have a new mind in Christ. And this mind, when we act in this mind, and we say, this is who I am in Christ, I'm a new creation. I have a new mind. I have a clean hard drive. All my dreams, God has planned for me to have them manifest in my life. God, show me the way. He will show you the way. A year ago, I was a contractor with nothing, but you know, my family and paychecks and just enough to get by, just floating through life, not fulfilled. You know, and now I have multiple businesses bringing in multiple revenue streams. I have 120,000 people watching me make woodworking videos. And a community of people. Every day I wake up, just tell me, ask yourself if this would be nice to have. Because I really enjoy it. Every day I wake up to about 100 to 150 emails of people commenting on my videos saying, you're awesome! Thank you so much for making these videos! I love everything about you and what you're doing. You're so great. Keep it up. Do you think you could sit through 100 emails every morning of people just saying, you're so awesome and I love what you're doing? This is what God has for us. I never would have dreamed that a year ago, and here I am. Okay, so I'm experiencing this. There's people in this room that are experiencing this. If you're not experiencing it, know that it's for you. Because you're made in the image of God, and He loves you, and you're good. Just that fact right there. Okay? So now you just look for the opportunity. And if you miss it one day, you get up the next day. Because guess what? God's rewritten a whole new path, a whole new opportunity that'll take you to your dreams. Every day you miss it, the next day, there's a new path. Okay? Open your eyes, open your heart, and find it. God will lead it to you. That's what intimacy, that's what relationship is all about. Now, is this the kind of God that we want to know and be connected to and just thirst for every day? This is who He is. Okay? Believe it in your heart. And everything else will just fall away.
Emma's got a word, and then we're going to transition into communion.
Hi. I don't want to stand by that. Well, while we were singing this morning, and we were singing, like, He loves us, He loves us. Oh, how He loves us, how He loves us. And I was just like, I was singing it, and I was like, yeah, you do, but mostly what was going through my mind was like, I don't feel like we're getting this. Like, yeah, we're saying it. We're saying He loves us. We're saying He loves us like so many times, but I don't feel like we're getting it. Like, God, are we getting this? Like, we're singing You love us. Like, do we actually know? Like, do we really get how much You love us? And I feel like you get it. Like, do you feel like you get it? I feel like you're getting it, at least. And yeah, it was just like, God was just showing me, like, that's what happens. Like, that's what happens when you get it. You know, when it just, like, kind of lands with you and you actually understand. And I feel like I've been there, but I'm not necessarily there all the time. I don't think any of us are there all the time. But I feel like that was just what God was showing me, is, like, when you get that, when you just get the love and understand it, like, it doesn't just change who you are as a person, but it, like, changes your life too. Like, and all those unbeliefs and everything that you were talking about, like, when you get the love of God, yeah, all that blockage is just, like, taken away. So anyways, I just feel like God wanted me to pray. Is that okay? Okay. Okay, so Jesus, I just pray that You would bring us back to that place of, we get it. Like, we want to get it. And if we've never been there, Jesus, I pray that You would take us there. And if there's anything in our hearts and minds and beliefs that are resisting that, I pray that You would reveal them to us and just take them away. Jesus, we just want to get it. We want to have that revelation of Your love that changes us. And I just pray that for everybody who's here. And if you want that this morning, God has it for you. He wants you to receive it. Yeah, we receive it. Amen. Yeah.